For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
In Treyasar, we're in Chabakuk Perbeis, excuse me. Thank you. We're Chabakuk Perbeis. We are, tonight is February the
5th.
February 5th. Okay, it's also Yud Aleph, Shvat, and it's the yard site of Chani Deitch, Chana Bas Yaakov Chizkiyahu. So we are going to learn as an Ilu Neshama for her. As we all know, Chani was always so involved in our shiurim, in this shiur, other shiurim, and we still miss her, and the learning should be an aliyah for neshama.
Amen.
Tonight we have a really actually involved shiur. We have a shorter shiur tonight because we start the event in the shul, so we started late, which means we are not going to be able to cover an entire parak, I don't think. So normally what it would have done is read through the entire parak and then focused on the expanded issue that we have over here. But instead, I'm going to read a few psukim and then immediately jump into it because it's just a lot to cover. So parak Beis begins, Amishmarti e'emoda, I will stand on my guard, on my watch. Ve'es yatzva al matzor. And I will, again, another word for stand, in a confined space. Va'atzapel liros ma'idaber bi, and I will hope to see what he will speak to me about. U'ma'ashiv al tochachti, and what I will respond to those who are arguing with me. Because Chavakuk, remember, in Perek Aleph, was saying to Hashem how terrible it is what Bavel is going to do to the Jewish people, what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do to the Jewish people, and he was asking, how could this be? How could this go on? And he's now saying, I'm going to stand in my place and wait for Hashem to answer me so that I have what I have to respond to those who would argue with me. Vayaneni Hashem, Vayomer Hashem answered me, and he said, Ksov Chazon, write the vision you're going to see, uva'er al-luchos, and make it explicit on the tablets. Now you should actually write it down on tablets. Leman yarutz korevo, in order that the reader should run through it. Literally, that's what it means, to run through it. So, meaning you should write it clearly, that the reader should be able to read clearly what you are going to write. Ki or chazon la'moed, because there will be a chazon, there will be a vision for the future, v'yafeach laketz v'lo yechazev, and it will, he will speak about the end of the gullus, and it will not lie, it will not be a lie. Im yismama chakelo, if he is delayed, wait for him. Kivo yavo lo yeacher, for he will surely come, he will not delay. We'll read one more pasuk. Hinei upala lo yashra nafsho bo. Behold, this is referring to the Rasha. The Rasha is always desiring evil. Lo yashra nafsho bo, his soul is not straight, he's not doing the right thing. And here we have a famous three words, Vitzadik be'emunaso yechia, and a tzadik will live with his faith, with his emuna. We'll pause here for the time being. I'm not sure if we're going to have time to go further tonight. The Chabakuk is waiting for an answer from Hashem about what's happening with Bavel, that they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and do terrible things to the Jewish people. And Hashem says to him, you should write clearly and make it something that people can read very easily, that there will come a chazon, there will come a vision, and it will come true, and whether even if it delays, wait for him, because it will certainly come, it will not be delayed. And the simple meaning of the pasuk is it's talking about the end of Galus Bavel, because we know that Galus Bavel had a clear time frame. It was a 70-year Galus. It was for 70 years. And that time was prophesied both by Yirmiyahu and by Daniel. So Hashem is saying to Habakkuk, there will come a future Navi who will say clearly what the time frame is. And even if it delays, now this can be read two ways, even if the arrival of that Navi to tell you what the time frame is, even if that takes a while for him to get here, wait for him. He's going to come and tell you how many years the Galus Bavel will be. Or you can read it, even if the time frame that he gives you is a long time, 70 years is a long time, it's a lifetime, nevertheless, wait for the end of that Galus, it will come. The end of the Galus will happen. That's the simple reading. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that from here, tipach atzmosam shamachash veikets, that the bones of those who try to figure out when the Geula will come, their bones should rot, because the pasuk says, if it delays, wait for him. He's for sure going to come. Mashiach will be here at some point. It is not a concern about when it will be, rather always wait. And it's a mitzvah to wait. It's a mitzvah meaning to anticipate, to be waiting for Mashiach to come. And the pasuk therefore is referring also to the geula ha'asida, to the ultimate geula that we are waiting for. This pasuk is also referring to that. So that is the response of Hashem. Now the rest of the perek has more about this, about what will be in the future with the destruction of Bavel and what's going to happen to them. I want to focus on pasuk Aleph, on the first pasuk, where Habakkuk says, I will stand my guard, stand in my place, and in a confined space, and I will hope to hear the answer of Hashem. The pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21, pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ki cho amar Eli Hashem, for so said to me Hashem, Lech ha'amed ha'mitzapeh, go and raise up the one who waits, the one who hopes. Asher yireh yagid, what he will see, he will speak. The Gemara tells us, and Rashi cites it here in Yeshaya, that this is a nevuah that Yeshaya has about Habakkuk. Yeshaya precedes Habakkuk. And Hashem is telling Yeshaya that there will be in the future one of your students, he doesn't tell him who, but it's going to be Habakkuk, he will be the mitzapeh. That is our word here, va'atzapeh, I will hope to see the answer of Hashem. The mitzapeh, the one who hopes, the hoper, the one who hopes will you should raise up the one who hopes. You should say something now in your Nevuah Yeshaya that will encourage in the future the one who hopes, which is Habakkuk. What he sees, he will speak. Now then, Yeshaya goes on. I'm going to read you a few more psukim from Yeshaya. Vira rechev, he will see a chariot. Vira rechev tzemed parashim, he will see a chariot of cavalry. Rechev chamor, rechev means a chariot, but a chamor, donkey. Rechev gamol, a chariot of camel. Vihikshiv keshev rav koshev, and he will hear in his nevuah, he will hear a great cacophony, a lot of sound. This means he's going to see a nevuah that will involve various armies which are represented by the donkey, represented by the camel. Chazal tell us that these armies that Habakkuk is going to see represent the other nations that will eventually conquer Bavel, Paras, Madai, that those other countries will eventually conquer and decimate and destroy Bavel for what they did to us, for having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Next pasuk in Yeshaya, pasuk Ches, Vayikra Aryeh, the lion will call, Al Mitzpeh, on his waiting post, or hoping post, Hashem, Anochi Omeid Tamid Yomam, I am standing constantly all day, Val Mishmarti, and on my wait, Anochi Nitzav, I am standing callados all the nights. Again, that word Mishmarti referring to Habakkuk, says Rashi, Vayikra Aryeh, the lion will call. The gematria of Aryeh is, Aleph is 1, Resh is 200, Yud is 10, Hey is 5, that's 216, which is the gematria of Habakkuk. Ches is 8, Beis is 2, Kuf is 100, Vav is 6, Kuf is 100, that's 216. Aryeh is Habakkuk. So this is another reference to him. And again, what will he see? Ish Semed Parashim. Again, he's going to see this cavalry. Vayan Vayomer, he will call out, he will say, Nafla, Nafla, Bavel, Bavel will fall. The Chopasile Eloheha Shibar La'aretz, and all of its idols will be smashed to the ground. And Yeshaya goes on from there. So Yeshaya has a nevuah about Habakkuk, but not just about Habakkuk, about this episode of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a mitzapeh, and how he is al mishmarti, he is on his guard, he's v'asyatzvan, he's standing. These are the words that Yeshaya is using, because he's seeing this vision. What is this vision? What is so significant about this vision? So Chazal tell us, because Habakkuk, and he was the first one to do this, you'll recognize the story, but he's the initiator of this. Habakkuk drew a circle in the ground, and he stood in the circle, and he said, I am not leaving this circle, Hashem, until you answer me and tell me what is going to be with Bavel and the Jewish people. And Hashem answers Habakkuk, and he tells him that there's going to be destruction of Bavel. Yes, they are going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but there will be an end to that Gullus, and Bavel itself will be decimated.
Matzar now, is the circle?
I'm sorry?
The Matzar?
Yeah. The Matzar, that confined space, is the circle in the ground. Now, of course, when you hear that, you can't help but think of the famous story of Choni HaMagol, of Choni the circle maker, from the story in Maseches Tainis, which I'm going to read to you. I'll read to you in full. You've all heard the story, but let's listen to it with all the details. And note that the Gemara itself, people don't realize this, invokes Habakkuk. Makes sense, right? That Choni HaMagol would invoke Habakkuk. Well, when people say the story of Choni HaMagol, they don't know anything about Habakkuk. So they don't realize that he's actually doing what happened before him. He didn't make this up. He got it from somebody else. Now he uses it in a novel way, but he got it from Habakkuk. So the Gemara tells him, read you the story of Choni HaMagol, the famous story. It's Tainis, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph 23a is where it is found. So the truth is that this is a Gemara I'm going to read to you. It's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah itself has the story of Choni HaMagol earlier. The Maseches Tainis has the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a lengthy, it's unusual for a Mishnah to tell stories. Most stories in the Gemara are not a Mishnayis, they're in the Gemara itself. Here you have a Mishnah with a lengthy story of Choni HaMagol, but the Gemara has an even lengthier version with more details. So we're going to read the Gemara's version, at least parts of it, so we have all the details that we need. So the Gemara tells us, I'll find the beginning of it over here. The Gemara says, Tanara Banana was Tanara Braisa. Pamachas Yatsa Rov Adar, one time most of the month of Adar was already done. Velo Yardu Geshamim had not yet rained in Eretz Yisrael, which is obviously a terrible thing. It's a terrible drought. Sholchu L'choni HaMagol, they sent to Choni HaMagol, Hispalel Davin, V'yardu Geshamim, and rain will come down. Hispalel Hidavin, Velo Yardu Geshamim, the rain didn't come. Ug Uga. He drew a circle. Va'amer besocha, and he stood inside of it. Kiderech sha'asa Chavakuk Hanavi. Like the way that Chavakuk the Navi did. It's explicit in the Gemara. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk we just read, Amishmarti e'emoda v'yisyatzva al-matzor, I will stand in a confined space. Amar lefanav, Sachoni Amagol said before Hashem, Ribono shalala, Banecha samu p'neim alai, your children have put their faces on me. Shani keven bayis lefanecha, because I'm like a regular in your house. I'm a regular visitor in your house. Or I'm a resident of your house. Nishba ni b'shimcha ha-gadol. I swear by your great name. She'eni zaz mikanat she'terachim al banecha. I'm not leaving this circle until you have mercy on your children. Now, Chavakuk didn't take any oath. He just says, I'm not leaving until I hear from you. But Choni Amagol takes an oath that he's not leaving. The rain began to come down as a drizzle. A little bit of rain. Amru lo talmidav, so his students said to Choni Amagol, Rabbi, re'inu chavlo namus, we should see you and not die. Kimeduman anu, it seems to us, she'en gishamim yardin el lahat yishvuascha. Hashem only brought the rain in order to let you out of your oath. Because he just made, it's like a begrudging answer. Like you're asking, he's just making it, you know, drizzle a little bit. Now you can leave the circle. That's what it looks like to us. Amar Lefanov, so Choni Amagol said in front of Hashem, Lo kach sha'alti. This is not what I asked for. Ela gishmei boros shichinu maros. I asked for rain that will fill up all of the reservoirs, all of the water holes. So the Gemara says, Yardu bezaf. Then the rain came down in a torrent. A huge amount of rain. Acha koltipa v'tipa kamali pi chavis. Each drop was like the size of the opening of a barrel. And it, and the Gemara says v'shira chacham shein tipa pechus mi log. No drop was less than the size of a log, a gigantic amount of water. Amulo talmidav. So a student said to him, to Choni Amagol, Rebbe, reinu chavlo namus. We should see you and not die. Kimedum and amenu. It seems to us shein gisham yardim el la'abin ha'olam. The rain is only coming down to destroy the world. Amar lefanav. So he said before him, Choni Amagol said before Hashem, Lo kach sha'alti. This is not what I asked for. Ela gishmei ratzon bracha unidava. I asked for rain that would be pleasing, that would be a bracha. Yardu kitikunan. They came down in the proper way. But it kept on coming. It was a good rain, a nice, steady rain that did what it needed to do, but it just kept on going. Everybody went up to the Harabayis to get out of the rain because they were getting flooded. There was a lot of rain. It wasn't flooding like as in, as being washed away, but it was, you know, they were up to their ankles in water. Armulo. So they sent him, Rebbe, Keshem Sheis Balalta Sheyerdu, just as you daven that they should come down, Kach Hispalo V'yelchulahem, you should daven and they should go away. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Kach Mikublani, this is my tradition that I have from my Rebbeim, Shein mispalim arov tova. We do not daven on a lot of goodness. We don't daven to take away bracha. Afal pikin, even so I can't just daven Hashem take away the rain. We don't do that. So, but even so, havyu li parho da'a, bring me a bowl of thanksgiving. In other words, to bring a carbon toda. Heviu lo parho da, they brought him a bowl to be brought as a thanksgiving offer. Samach shteyadav alav, he leaned both his hands on it. Va'amar, he said, Va'amar lefanav, he said before Hashem, Ribono shel olam, Amcha Yisrael shehotzeisam mi'Mitzrayim, your nation Yisrael, you took out of Egypt. Einon yecholin, they're not able to handle lo barov tova, v'lo barov pranus. They can't handle a lot of good, and they can't handle a lot of bad. We're very delicate, us Jews. So, ka'asta lam, first you were angry with them, and in chol lamo, they couldn't handle it. Hishpat alam tova, now you've poured upon them blessing, literally, and in chol lamo, they can't handle it. Yihira tzom lefanecha, it should be your will, sheyifsiku ha-geshamim, that the rain should stop, v'yei revach ba'olam, and the world should be pleasant, should be expansive. Miyad nashva haruach, immediately the wind blew, v'nispazu ha'avim, and the clouds dissipated, v'zarcha hachama, and the sun shone. V'yatzu ha'am, l'sada, and the nation went out to the field, v'yivu lehem kemenu pitrius, and they brought mushrooms and truffles, which grew through all the moisture, they grew very quickly. So there wasn't enough, there wasn't food to eat, meaning there was no grain. It would take a little while for the grain to grow, but immediately there were mushrooms to eat that they were able to eat right then. Now, Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach sent to Choni Hamagol. Gives you a time frame for when Choni Hamagol lived. It was in the time of Shimon ben Shetach. Ilmale Choni Ata, if you weren't Choni, goes Rani Alecha Nidui, I would put you in Cherem. I would excommunicate you. Now, there are two things that he's criticizing Choni Hamagol for. One, as the Gemara is going to say later, Rashi says, because you spoke flippantly to Hashem. Lo kach shalti, that's not what I asked for. That's not the way we speak to Hashem. Even when you're davening, even when we don't speak flippantly to Hashem, we speak in a manner of deference to Hashem. And not only that, she'ilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu, had the years been like the years of Eliyahu, she maftechos kishamim biyado shel Eliyahu, you remember the story that the keys of rain were in the hands of Eliyahu. Remember what Eliyahu did? Eliyahu took an oath. He said, I swear, there will not be any rain until I say so. So, lo nimtza shem shamayim mischal al yadecha, then wouldn't you have just caused the chilah Hashem? Because you would have pitted your shvuah, your oath, against his shvuah, against his oath. Somebody's oath is going to have to go. If you don't know why it wasn't raining, perhaps somebody on the level of Eliyahu Hanavi took an oath, and then you've got an oath against an oath. That's, you can't do that. So he says, really, I'm criticizing you for both those things. What can I do to you? You sin before Hashem, and he does what you want anyway. No matter what. No matter what you do, he does what you want. Kiben, like a child, that he sins to his father, and he does what he wants. I am very hesitant to say this, because I don't like to speak in such a non-deferential way about the great Talmid Chacham, but he's almost saying it's like you're like a spoiled child, right? You do what you want, and you complain, and you sin, and anyway, your parent does what you want. Va'omer lo Abba, and he says, my father, holy cheni l'rachtzeni b'cham, and take me and bathe me in hot water. Shatfeni b'tzonein, and then give me some cold water. Tein li agozim, shkedim, afariskim, v'rimonim, give me all kinds of candy, all kinds of treats. V'nosin lo, and he gives him. V'alecha kasev omer, about you, the pasuk says, yismach avicha v'imecha, your father and your mother should be happy, v'sagel yolodatecha, and those who bore you should rejoice. And that's the end of the story of Choni Hamagol over here. Choni Hamagol, there's more about him, but that's that particular story. So this is what happens over here. So Choni Hamagol takes his cue from Chavakuk, and he does more than what Chavakuk did. There are two things that he does that Chavakuk did not do, which Shimon Shetach criticizes him for. One is how he spoke, and the other is that he took an oath. But for those things, Shimon Shetach says, seems like, doesn't matter, because seems like you're so beloved to Hashem, you can do anything you want, and he's gonna answer you. So, you imagine having a person like that around. Can you imagine?
All the time in our tefillah, like we say, "Slach lanu avinu," and we say, "Avinu." You know, we're counting on that all the time.
Yeah. But we don't speak in a flippant manner.
What I'm saying is that I think like the confidence that a child has, like we are counting on.
Okay, come
that
come
we are,
come
you know.
I hear you.
And we do it again all the time in davening.
Yes, Mrs. Lewis.
At what point does Honi get out of the Magal?
He never says. I assume once it starts raining normally. It doesn't say that he stepped out of the.
Well, I was thinking this because they said bring the. Yeah,
it's a good question.
Bring the car for a carbon. I thought that's why he couldn't leave to bring it.
No, it sounds like he stepped out of it already once it started raining normally. Yeah.
Well, but he gets credit because he's working for the Jewish people.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's working for the
greater good. Yeah, no question about it.
Now, why did the Jewish people come to him and not Shimon?
Right. Apparently they felt that he had an inside track. And they were right.
He does.
And they were right.
But it's interesting because he said, I'm a Ben Bais, which is exactly what he said. Well, you're a Ben.
Yeah, yeah, right. He says, I'm a Ben Bais. I'm a regular. Right. Yeah. Okay, now, I do want to point out, this is an aside, I just want to point out that it is important to note that even though Choni Amago got away with it, we're not supposed to speak flippantly, even when we daven. Mm-hmm. Davening needs to be deferential. That's the way davening needs to be. I apologize. I do not like it. I think it is wrong. I want to say very strongly, I think it is wrong, even though you hear it from allegedly big people. I don't think big people are actually saying it. I think it's really coming from small people, but you certainly hear it from the larger from circles. The term "storm the heavens with our prayers," I do not think that is an appropriate way to speak. I apologize if anybody doesn't like that. I do not think. I personally believe that that is wrong to say that phrase. We do not storm the heavens. We bow our heads and we beg to the heavens. We don't storm the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu storms everything else. We don't storm Him, Chas V'Shalom. Okay, that's my own issue. Now, so Choni Amago, though, takes his example from Habakkuk. Shimon ben Shetach does not criticize Choni Amago for the, we'll call it the ploy, you know, for drawing the circle and getting the circle. He criticizes him for the way he spoke and for taking the oath, because neither of those things were done by Habakkuk. But he's not going to criticize him for getting in the circle, because he's got what to stand on. He's got a person, he's got the great Habakkuk to take as his example. So that's okay. What is happening with the circle? Why? I mean, it says he davened, he wasn't answered. So then he draws the circle. He says, I'm not leaving until it rains. How does that change anything? Why does that matter? I mean, all he's doing is he's davening. He's saying, Hashem, make it rain. So that's davening. So what does the circle matter? So the way I have always understood this, and we're going to add a little bit to it tonight, but the way I've always understood it is the following. That when Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, brings something bad to the world, in this case it was no rain, so Hashem has his cheshbonos, all of his calculations. We know that a drought affects so many people in so many different ways, directly, indirectly. There's all kinds of things happening. And we know that Hashem is calibrating everything perfectly. Hatzor tamim palo, Hashem is perfect. Everything is calibrated. Everything is done for a reason. Everything is done properly. So why he decided to bring a drought and who that would affect in what way, ultimately, of course, it is to bring everybody to tshuva, maybe to punish a person who needs to be punished, to get someone inspired to do better, whatever the issues are. But he's got his whole array of calculations, and he brought this drought. That's what he did. So, Choni Amago draws a circle, and gets in the middle of the circle, and he takes an oath. He says, I'm not leaving till it rains. So, he's now altered the equation, because he's now made something else dependent on whether it's going to rain or not. In other words, what he's saying is, Hashem, if you're going to hold back the rain, now, not only is it going to affect everything that you already calculated, but now I'm adding something that wasn't in the mix before. You didn't calculate this. You didn't calculate that I am going to be in a circle. Now, if anybody less than Choni Amago, Hashem's reaction would likely be, tough, right? So you did it to yourself. You want to get in a circle and sit in a circle. It's your problem, not my problem. Don't blame me. Who told you to get into a circle? But Choni Amago knew that on his level, like Habakkuk knew on his level, that he could get away with this, that by making the rain and his getting out of the circle dependent one on the other, that would tip the scales enough that Hashem, for the sake of Choni getting out of the circle, would make it rain. Which is why when it starts to drizzle, the people say, you know, it seems to us Hashem is just trying to kind of straddle the fence. He'll make it rain, but won't make it rain. Like, he wants to keep the punishment, but he wants you out of the circle. Right? So the circle part of it is in order to add a consequence to the lack of rain. Now again, most of us can't get away with that. Most of us, if we try that kind of shtick, so then it's not going to do anything, because you know, we don't deserve that kind of attention. But Choni Amago deserved it. So he got away with it, as does Habakkuk. The question is as follows, that there is a medrash. It's a very difficult medrash to read. I want you to know, I didn't find it myself. I did a search, and I found a sefer called Bris Shalom. The sefer was written in the mid-1500s by a great Talmud Chacham in Poland, who unfortunately lived to only be in his young 40s, and they found his manuscripts and they printed it. It was reprinted recently, actually. And in this sefer Bris Shalom, in his Pirush to Parshas Devarim, of all places, he brings this medrash that I'm going to share with you, and he has a very lengthy discussion explaining the medrash. I'm pulling from him, I'm not telling you everything he says, I'm pulling some of the pieces out from what I saw from him in helping to understand this medrash. But the medrash says that Habakkuk, when he stood in the circle, and he said to Hashem, I'm not leaving until you tell me what's happening with Bavel. So it says that Hashem said to him a very cryptic statement. The one who breaks his axe will come before me. That's what he says. And then it says that Habakkuk fell on his face and began crying to Hashem and saying, forgive me for what I did. So, and the Medrash goes on from there. So the question is, of course, what's this cryptic line of the one who breaks his axe will come to me? And what is he asking forgiveness for? It seems from the Medrash that what Habakkuk did to get into the circle was not a good thing, because Habakkuk has to beg forgiveness. In fact, later on, we're going to have a pasuk that Habakkuk is going to ask that Hashem should treat his drawing the circle and getting into the circle as if it was a shogeg and not a mazid, as if it was a careless sin rather than a deliberate sin. What sin? What did he do wrong? What's wrong with what he did? So, I'll point that pasuk out to you later when we get to it, which will not be tonight. So the Bris Shalom says the following. He says a few things. I'm going to pull up a few pieces out. One point he makes is that we all know his piece is actually about Tu B'Av. About the 15th of Av. That's really what it's about. This is a sidebar in that piece. So we know that Tu B'Av has many reasons for its being celebrated. The Gemara, both in Maseches Tainis and in Maseches Bava Basra, go through the various reasons for Tu B'Av. And there's five or six reasons given in the Gemara for Tu B'Av. One of them being those who died in the Midbar, that they stopped dying at that time. And there are many other things that are said. One of the reasons given, it's one of the more obscure reasons that people aren't so familiar with, is that it was the day that they stopped chopping wood for the Beis HaMikdash. Because at that point, the summer heat is already starting to wane, and therefore the wood is not dried out enough, and you're not allowed to use wood that is not completely dried out on the Mizbeach. You have to have fully dried out wood for the Mizbeach. So they would stop chopping wood. They would already have filled up the storehouses of the Beis HaMikdash with all the wood they needed for the year, and they would stop chopping wood at Tu B'Av. That was the end of the chopping wood season. So why is that significant? Because the Gemara says now that they're not chopping wood anymore, there's more time to learn Torah. At that point, because that task, which was a time-consuming task, is done, there's more time to learn Torah. The Gemara says, therefore, Tu B'Av is known as Yom Tavar Magol, which is Aramaic for the day of the breaking of the axe. Yom Tavar Magol, the day of the breaking of the axe. So the Bris Shalom says that Hashem is telling Habakkuk over here that the one who will come to me for with his tefillos to be answered is someone who is going to be learning Torah, a great Talmud Chacham. And he says that Habakkuk knew this and came to Hashem with all of his Torah, with all of his davening. He was davening and learning together. That he came. It wasn't just davening. It was with his intense learning that he came before Hashem. So what was wrong? What was the issue? What was the problem? So the Bris Shalom explains that our psukim, let's look at our psukim again that we read tonight. So we have here that Hashem says to Habakkuk and Pasuk Beis, Vayaneni Hashem Vayomer, he says to me, Ksov Chazon Uvar Aluchos, write the vision and explain it well on the tablets, L'man Yarutz Korevo, in order that the reader should run quickly through it. So the Bris Shalom says, it seems that the issue that Habakkuk did wrong was not something he did wrong that was actually itself a problem, but that it could be misconstrued as a problem. Hashem is telling Habakkuk, I want you to write down things clearly so anybody can read it quickly and understand what's going on. Meaning, what you did until now, there was nothing inherently wrong with it, but people could misunderstand what you did. What you did could be misunderstood. And therefore, I want you to write down clearly what is happening with Bavel, that no one should make any mistakes. So what can be misconstrued? So, says the Bris Shalom, because we know that there are two ways of posing a question. When something happens, and you pose a question, there are two ways of doing it. One is to ask a question in order to get an answer. The other is to pose a question in order to challenge. Right, we all know there's two ways of asking a question. You can ask a question with intent to hear what the answer is, or you can ask a question with intent to challenge the other person, to challenge the premise of the other person. So, says the Bris Shalom, Habakkuk getting in the circle and saying to Hashem, I'm not leaving until you tell me what is going on with Bavel. What Habakkuk meant was, I want to know the answer. What's happening over here? How can you do this? How can you bring such terrible punishment to the Jewish people? What's going to be with the Jewish people? How are they going to be saved? What's going to happen? How can this be? He wasn't asking to challenge. He was actually asking for an answer. But one could misconstrue what Habakkuk did as being a challenge. Hashem, how could you do this? Does this make any sense? That kind of thing. And that's the problem. And for that, because it could make other people make mistakes, Habakkuk was therefore criticized by Hashem for that point. And for that issue, which is a subtle issue, Habakkuk is begging forgiveness. And Hashem is telling him, I want you to write down clearly the answer to your question so that it's clear that you weren't challenging, you were asking for a real answer. And I'm going to give you the real answer as Perek Beis and Gimel are going to go on and talk about. With Choni HaMagol, when he copies Habakkuk, so he isn't asking a question, he's waiting for a response. He's asking for something. He wants something to happen. He's not questioning. He's not saying to Hashem, why did you do this? He's saying, Hashem, I want you to change what you did. I want it to rain. So that's very different than what Habakkuk did. In fact, it really borders on what Habakkuk is criticized for people mistakenly thinking that he was doing. That's what it's almost like, especially when you add to it the way Choni HaMagol speaks. So you see Shimon ben Shetach, when he criticizes Choni HaMagol, he's not just criticizing him about the way he spoke and about taking the oath. He's actually saying, even the person that you're getting your example from, Habakkuk, he didn't do what you did. And in fact, he was criticized for people thinking that he might have done what you did. And nevertheless, Choni Hamagol, says Shimon Shetach, you get away with it. Nevertheless, Hashem obviously loves you so much, you can get away with it. Even though Habakkuk himself was criticized for the potential mistake, you are able to walk away clear and free. You're good. So it's an amazing thing. First of all, it's amazing about Choni Hamagol himself that he knew what he was doing. He knew all this. He knew everything about Habakkuk. He knows far more than we do. He understood all this, and yet he does it, and then he gets away with it, and it rains, and it stops raining exactly the way he asks, and it's really an amazing thing who he was and how he was able to have that happen. But Habakkuk himself is also going to be answered, as we're going to see with the rest of Perek Beis. We don't find, that I know of, anybody else doing this sort of thing. I don't know why it's specifically Habakkuk who does it. I assume it's only Choni Hamagol because he's the only one who could do it in his day. But I imagine if Habakkuk could do it, others could do it too. There were other Nevi'im. I don't know why no one else does something like this. But nevertheless, you see the greatness of Habakkuk that he is answered, and the greatness of Choni Hamagol. As I said also, there are other stories of Choni Hamagol, and in fact there's other stories about Choni Hamagol's son and grandson in the Gemara, they're obviously an incredible people that they're able to do what they did. But at the same time, we have to be careful how we behave. Like what Shimon Shetach was criticizing Choni Hamagol for, what he's essentially saying is he's telling us. He's really saying, everybody else, heads up, right? Listen up. He got away with it. Don't try it at home.
What time period was that, the Choni Hamagol?
So Shimon Shetach is one of the Zugos. Shimon Shetach is the third of the five generations of Zugos. And Hillel and Shammai are the fifth. Mm-hmm. Now Hillel and Shammai are 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Shimon Shetach dated back a little bit. I want to say, you know, I don't know, 150, 180 years before. So you're talking where the Hashmonaim are probably in power at that time.
Mm. Didn't mention that after 120, we're going to be asked to Tzipisa v'Gula, and here this Mitzapeh and Tzipisa,
right. Well, but that's the Chakelo. You're supposed to wait for it.
So I'm wondering if that's how the word Tzipisa v'Gula comes
from. Tzipisa Yeshua. Yeah, it could be. Very likely. Very likely.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.